have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
And I'm here to you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's gospel news. Ricky Dillard, a chart-topping gospel singer, songwriter, producer, and Grammy nominee from Chicago, with a sophisticated style that embodies R&B, funk, dance music, blues, jazz, and black gospel, Dillard forged a unique identity on the church music scene with his new generation chorale, beginning with 1991's The Promise. Later recording dates like 1993's A Holy Ghost Takeover from Malico, Ricky Dillard's place in modern gospel has flourished in the 21st century, 2014's Amazing on E1 and 2017's 10 both topped the gospel list and reached the top 200. Ricky Dillard was born and raised in Chicago, where he inherited a love for gospel music from his mother and grandmother and started singing in a church choir at a very early age. Dillard soon began directing youth choirs in the church, starting at the age of 5, and later the young adult choirs. It was around that time that Dillard came across two specific recordings that inspired him to pursue gospel singing, James Cleveland and Aretha Franklin's Amazing Grace with the Southern California Community Choir, and one by the Institutional Radio Choir from Brooklyn, New York. Dillard continued to direct choirs locally and was a member of the Thompson Community Singers. During the early 1990s, Dillard started issuing solo albums supported by his New Generation Ensemble, later shortened to New G, that often merged gospel with dance music. These releases included 1991's Grammy-nominated Promise, 1993's The Holy Ghost Takeover, 1995's Hallelujah, and 1996's Worked It Out. Starting in the 2000s, No Limit, Keep Living peaked at number 3. National recording artist Tamaya J has been ministering the Word of God through song since a very young age, having been blessed to travel the world singing background for Mary Mary for over 6 years. God allowed her now to spread her musical wings. In 2018, Tamaya released her second album entitled Love for Your Name, and multiple singles from the project are still charting on Billboard. Tamaya J serves as one of the lead praise and worship leaders at her church and is wife and mother to two. The Never Miss a Beat radio show is approaching its 14th year on the air, and she looks forward to continuing the show and releasing more new music in the near future. Milbert E.S. McKenzie, born April 29, 1949, who goes by the stage name of Doc McKenzie, is an American gospel musician. He started his music career in 1990 with 6 album releases that were released by Atlantic, Savoy, and Meltone Records. McKenzie released 3 albums, Ride with Jesus in 1996 with First Light Records, 1998's Live Again and First Light, and 2009's Renewed, which all charted on the Billboard Gospel chart. In his early life, Doc McKenzie was born in Atlanta, South Carolina, the son of Leroy and Cora McKenzie, who were farmers. The family went to church at St. Mark Holiness Church that is located in Lake City, South Carolina. His pastor at the time was Bishop R.C. Eady, who gave him the nickname of Doc because he could fix anything. He started leading his church choir at the age of 6. The highlights got started by his sister, Baronzi McKenzie, and his cousin, Handy McFadden, and they relocated to Paterson, New Jersey during the 1960s and 1970s, moving back home in the mid-1980s to begin their musical recording careers. He began recording his music in 1990 with the release of 6 albums by 3 different labels. South Carolina's gospel highlights, led by Doc McKenzie, have released more than a dozen LPs by multiple record labels. One of Doc McKenzie's most popular selection is the trilogy of miracles in The Little Girl Fail from 1995, Man in the Middle. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Miracles by Kiera Sheard featuring Pastor Mike Jr. 9, The Moment, Tasha Cobb Leonard. 8, Nothing Else Matters, Brent Jones. 7, Wow, Walk on Water, Lena Bird Miles. 6, Goodness of God, CeCe Winans. 5, Finished, Pamela Mann. 4, Impossible, Pastor Mike Jr. 3, The Better Benediction, PJ Morton. 2, I Still Have You, Smokey Norfolk. And for the second week in a row, Fred Jerkins has our number 1 song with I Believe. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can do that by going to my website at msninataylor.com. Now, let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
We can heal the sick, the needy, our soul, the memory of God, and the possible.
Marguerite?
Joan? Hey, baby girl. How you doing?
I made it home. I'm good.
I know that. Okay. Right.
I have adoration. What do you have? Huh?
You have adoration. I have salvation.
Oh, okay.
You first, Sharon the second.
Sharon may not be on the line. I talked to her earlier. Ernest told her she needs to be getting sleep.
Family, yes. Unit has healing. I have salvation. Is Courtney going to be here, you know?
I don't know.
She has schools, and Bishop has power to sing.
Okay. Yeah, this has been a trying day, but God has been good.
Yes, he has.
Good evening. Somebody's choking. Why are we choking?
My allergies.
allergies.
Yeah.
We got to pray over them allergies. We got to pray over. Well, we do. Don't. It's
yeah.
true. Let's just say it like it is.
You
know, sit there and suffer with it, or you going to believe God for the relief of it? Yes, I'm listening. I came to talk some junk today because I'm a little disturbed.
I ain't
going to
have it out too tight.
Now, you don't have a choice. I'm the pastor here.
I'm the bishop.
No, if you were the bishop, I would speak to you about a few things. First lady, get your parishioners, first lady. Tell them the bishop ain't playing tonight. Keep playing. You're going to find out. There is a bright side somewhere.
Amen.
Let me try to fix this. All right, we got a minute or two before we get started. And, First Lady, I'm going to put this in your hands to conduct the prayer portions, since you used to be a conductor of a prayer session. I'm trying to get myself a little set up here. I'm trying to find my book. There it is. And...
Okay.
So whenever you're ready to start.
Okay. All right. Then we can go ahead and get started. I'm not sure. I did talk to Courtney, called me. I know that there's a lot going on with her stepmother today. She had to get taken out of one place. Thank you so much. You too. And, of course, I was just picking up dinner. She was in one place. They said she needed to be picked up. Then because the place where she was, there was a COVID thing going on, and then she was going to go someplace else. But then they ended up testing her, find out she had COVID. So then they had to scramble to find someplace else that would take her. And then that place turned out, yeah, there was one place that would do it, but apparently their ratings are real bad. Anyway, long and short, there's a lot going on with that whole thing. So we have to continue to keep the family in prayer. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I'll open, and then we'll do the song like we normally do, and then we'll go from there.
All right.
Fathers, in the precious name of Jesus, we come before you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love and kindness. We thank you, Lord, that you are with all of us at all times, Lord. We thank you for what you've already done in this day. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you are about to do in this Bible study and this prayer time. Lord, we just are so grateful for the opportunity to come together one with another, praising your holy name and seeking to draw closer to you through study of your word. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for blessing our teacher of this hour, our pastor, our bishop. We thank you, Lord, that you move in him and through him, guide him, give him wisdom as he shares with each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for each one that will come online, Lord, and join us in prayer and join us in Bible study, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you will move in us in a mighty way that we may draw closer to you, even in this prayer and Bible study session. So, Lord, we praise you and thank you for all that you're about to do. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We got to find a song to get on. I don't know if anyone has a song in their heart, and I know we do this every week, so I don't want to go too long with it, but if anyone has a song in their heart, please say it now and forever hold your peace, and I will help to join in whatever comes to mind.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I'm trying to give everybody else. I'm trying to give everybody else opportunity and chance because I'm, you know, somebody else come across.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice
and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
I will rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day
that the Lord has made.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank
God. Amen. For what you put out there. God bless you. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Just do it.
Amen.
Be the picture, the perfect pitch out there. If God wanted you to be a perfect pitch, he would have made you a gospel artist. He would have given you a contract somewhere. We're going to stop trying to be CeCe and BB Winans, and we're just going to be Ernest and Sharon and Joan and Marguerite, Charles, and whoever else God would have us to be. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so I know we each have prayer assignments. If somebody knows who has what, we can go into that, or we can take a different tack altogether and just let everybody pray from their heart.
Let us all pray from our heart, because, I mean, I know that we have these structured prayers, and it's not that I'm against them. It's just every now and then. How about if we just talk to God, not in a military fashion, but in an open heart-like fashion? I'm sure God would like to hear what's on our mind.
Yeah. All right. That sounds good to me. So and we'll just get started, and whoever would like to kick us off, please do, and then everybody just keep free flowing it. When one finishes, another one go, and so forth. Amen?
Amen. Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus, I come to you to say thank you, God. God, as we sit back and we look at what's going on in the world, God, I'm so glad that we are of the world. God, I thank you for what you are doing in our lives, God, but not only our lives. Thank you for building us up, God. Thank you for getting us ready to go out there and bring the unsaved in, God. God, I thank you. God, I thank you for the experiences that I went through this week, God. And I thank you for the experience that I'm going to go through next week, God. God, I'm thanking you because I know who you are. I ask that you just lift up our bishop, Lord God. God, places that he never thought that he would go, God. God, the places that she never thought she would go. Take the members, God. Take us, God. Have your way with us, God. God, I ask for a special prayer for Courtney, God, and her family, God. God, watch over them, God. Watch over them, God. Whatever the situation may be, we know you have it in your hands. God, I ask for a special prayer over April, God. God, in that whole situation, you know what's going on. So, Lord God, yes, tough love may be hard, God, but that's what you said, God. You said tough love because, God, you said we are not to spare the rod. If we spare the rod, we don't love our children. So, God, I'm not sparing the rod. So I pray that she doesn't spare the rod neither. Lord God, let the chips fall wherever they may fall, because she needs to know, and the children need to know, God, that it's you that's in control. So I thank you for their whole situation, God. God, it's by no mistake of what is going on. God, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for Kay Neal family, God. God, yes, there are some rough roads that we be going through, but, God, you always see us through. I thank you for the people, God, just people, God. Thank you for the love and the kindness of people. God, we just pray. We pray that you just have your way in everything that you do, God. God, I just ask for you to keep the hedge of protection over each and every one of us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay.
I've been doing a little scripture to myself every day, so I'm going to read this one, Romans 10, 9 through 10, verse. If you if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For if it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Okay. I've been doing one every time we have Bible study, but I've been trying to do one every day also, kind of read one and try to remember. That's how I'm getting with these Bible verses. I'm trying to learn some of them.
Amen.
Okay. Lord, thank you for loving us so much that when Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he washed away our sins. I thank God every day for every day he has given me. I've been going through a little bit of health crisis here lately. I got to get some more blood work done and some more tests done. So right now I just thank God for every day that he gives me. I take it day by day, and I believe that whatever happens is God's will. So I'm going to keep a positive mind. I'm not going to worry about anything until I know the truth. So that has been pressing. I went on my vacation. Thank God I did. I didn't get the test results till I came back. So I know that was God willing me to get a good rest and clear my head. So that's been in my mind, the back of my mind, and I didn't worry about it while I was down there. So now I just got to go get some more tests done. So, and I thank Power to Stand for all the prayers that y'all have sent me previously and for healing. And I thank y'all. You don't know how much that blessed me and kept me calm and not worried so much. But I thank God every day for all that he has done for me, the blessings he has given me for family and support of Power to Stand family. So I am grateful for all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, next prayer worry. You don't have to have a special assignment. Just show up. Let go.
Father, it's in the precious name of Jesus, I come before you, Lord. I thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love and kindness. I thank you, Lord, that you are the great I am. I thank you, Lord, that there's none greater than you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are our all in all. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're ministering each person to each person, each family represented on this line today. I thank you, Lord, that you're ministering in and through the entire Power to Stand Outreach family, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you know what each person stands in need of. I thank you, Lord, that you're blessing each one right now according to their need. Lord, I thank you, Lord, if there's a need for healing, I thank you, Lord, that you're strengthening and healing them right now in the name of Jesus, moving, removing aches, pains, discomforts. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're ministering even to their finances, strengthening them, giving them wisdom on how to use that which you have entrusted to them, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're helping to build their families up to be stronger, Lord, than ever before, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that even as you build them up, you're strengthening this ministry as a whole, helping us to move forward in accordance with your will, helping us, Lord, to reach souls as you have called us to do, helping us to not be shy about going forth and doing things that will be a blessing to others, that they may see your light, Lord, and want to draw closer to you for themselves. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in and through us, Lord, that you're strengthening us, and through that, Lord, you're helping us to draw closer to you and then strengthen this ministry as a whole. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us and through us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are our guiding light in everything, Lord, that you're seasoning our speech with salt, Lord, helping us to know what to say, what to do, and what not to say and what not to do. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are just living and breathing within us in such a mighty way that people, when they see us, will know that there is something different about us. So, Lord, I thank you and praise your name for all that you're doing in us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for every opportunity we have to be a blessing to others, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for for continuing to strengthen us that we may serve others as you have called us to do, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're continuing to bless our media ministry, our music ministry, our Daughters of the King, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're blessing all the ministries that we have and those that we seek to have that you've already placed in our heart to build up, Lord. And, Lord, you just know the resources that we need. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the resources are going to be coming from the left, the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they're going to all be there such that we will be able to fulfill all that you have called on us to do, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that in the meantime, that each one of us will utilize the gifts that you have blessed us with fully to your glory. So, Lord, we praise your name today. We thank you, Lord, for every helping hand through everything that must be done, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're just strengthening us in any and every way that we have need of, Lord. So, Lord, we praise you today. We thank you, Lord, for all of our ministry partners, Lord. Lord, I pray that we are a part of or that we partner with in any way, Lord. We lift up Agape, Lord, Christian Center, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and lift up the Bridge Network, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're continuing to move in and through Hope. And I know I'm probably get the name of the church wrong, but you know the church I'm referring to, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're touching Overseer McPherson and her church, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're just moving in a mighty special way in and through each partner that we have, Lord. And I just praise you today, and I thank you, Lord, for how you're blessing them and how you're guiding them, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're just continuing to move in and through our communities, in and through this nation, Lord, helping each community, Lord, to draw closer to you, to have a hunger to know you, to serve you, Lord, removing the violence, removing the things that happen that impact us so much, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we know despite the negative things we see in the news, Lord, we know that you reign above all things. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for helping us to be mindful of that and helping us to be the example such that others will want to follow, and then someone will follow them and follow them, Lord, such that we remove all of the violence that exists in our communities. So, Lord, I praise you today. I thank you, Lord, for how you're blessing us. I thank you, Lord, for your hand upon each of our children, keeping them safe wherever they go, whatever they have to do. I thank you, Lord, that you're helping us to raise them up in the way they should go, that they may have a relationship and know you for themselves. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, and I ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Come on, next prayer warrior, next prayer warrior. Hallelujah. Now, I do want you to know I can see everybody that's online, but I would hope that you would make it your business to come on and pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, by faith in Jesus the Christ. We glorify you, honor you, and praise you. We come before your throne, Heavenly Father, asking for forgiveness of our sins, Father God. And while we in your before your throne, Father God, Father God, that they will receive Christ, Father God, that they will receive the free gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, we glorify you, honor you, and praise you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is there another?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Is there another?
Yes, there is. I'm sorry. I kicked my own self off the line. Let us pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we take this time to adore you, to worship you, to magnify you, to glorify your name, to lift your name up, to just let you know how much we love you. And thank you for the many blessings that you placed upon each and every one of us. Father God, as we've adjourned and then brought ourselves to this point, to this place, and to this opportunity whereby we are able to magnify your name by way of prayer. Father God, there's so many prayer requests that we have that we need to put before you. But God, we take this time first to just adore you, just to lift up your holy name, give you glory, to thank you for being the God of our salvation. Father, where we may have fallen short, where we may have missed the mark, where we may have sinned, in your presence, Father God, we pray now according to 1 John 1:9. We ask for your forgiveness, Father God. We ask, Father God, even as David said, have mercy upon us, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Father, blot out every transgression. Wash us thoroughly from our sins. Cleanse us from every iniquitous work, every thought, and every act that does not line up with you. Purify us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. And as we have purified ourselves, we now prepare to receive from you. Father God, you said we're the apple of your eye. You said we were accepted in the beloved. You said that you truthfully are our God, that we look to you, God. We always look to the hill from which cometh our help. And so, God, tonight, even in the Bible study, God, we're asking that you would open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy word. God, help us to apply what we learned today to our everyday living, to whatever it is, God, that we are dealing with. God, we know there are people out there, situations and circumstances that try to disturb our peace. But God, you said you keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on this. God, some of us that have concerns, and there are even some who might be worrying. You told us in your word to be careful for nothing, but by everything through prayer and through supplication, you said with thanksgiving to make our request known unto you. You said the peace which passeth all understanding would be able to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And God, we're loving on you because of you, that you are a keeper of your word. God, you're not a man that you should lie, neither are you the son of man that you should have to repent. If you say a thing, it shall come to pass. And so, Father God, we thank you that as the memory of the just is blessed, we thank you for the retention of the word and for what we learn in Bible study. Help us to apply it to our everyday living. Help us to put it forth whereby those who may not know will come to know and see you in each and every one of us. God, in this day and age, people don't want to pray. People would rather run off at the mouth. People would rather belittle each other and berate each other and tear each other down and run each other over and try to show everybody how intelligent and how smart they are. I ask, Father God, that you would release the spirit of praise first and foremost, that their focus would come off of them and go unto you. And then I ask that you would release the anointing of the Holy Spirit, even in this session, Father God. We loose the angels of the Lord to go up and down and to and fro and throughout the entire sanctuary. Arrest the attention of your people. God, we need a word from you on this given day, and we're expecting exactly that and nothing less. We're giving you the glory and the praise, for it's in the mighty, matchless, majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we do pray on this day. And let the church say amen. If there's anyone that has special prayer that they want to offer up, any special prayer that they want to share with us in this day and in this age and at this time, we want to give you this opportunity to be able to express that right now. Anybody on the telephone, and I know I just started social media, anybody that's on social media, if you have a special prayer request, if you'll please print it out, we'll be more than happy to pray for you on this given day, because we are about praying and hearing the voice of our Father and the voice of a stranger we refuse to follow. So is there anybody with any special request at this particular time? Anyone? Hallelujah.
I'd like to pray for my baby sister. She had surgery on her knee today. So she's recovering from that. And pray for me. I got a few health issues, so I'm dealing with right now.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Mother Miles and her sister, Father God. We pray that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. We thank you, Father God, that Jesus' back was ripped open and the life blood that poured out of his back contained the virtue and the healing that we had need of. God, you told us that we could send the word and it would bring forth healing. All you told us to do was have the faith to believe that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So, God, we believe with our dear sister. We speak healing. We speak wholeness unto her now in the name of Jesus. Those conditions, those allergies, Father God, those physical conditions, those mental conditions, those emotional conditions, we speak to them now. We cancel the plan of the enemy that comes against her. Father God, thank you that you are filling her spirit as well as her mind with your word. And as the enemy comes like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against those things that may try to come against our dear sister. God, we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We magnify you for the work that you are doing, even in our dear sister in this day and in this hour. God, continue to minister to her sister, to her family, to her mother, to the siblings that she has, the individuals that she lost just a few months ago, and to their families, and not just her, God, as it's coming to my spirit and my mind. We lift up Brother Tyree in this day and in this age, Father God. You called him to be a man of God, and so, God, as we lift him up, we call upon you to share with him and show him the way, Father God. We bless you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, for not just Brother Tyree, but the men of power to stand and every man that was dared to stand and fill the gap that you called us men to fill. Father, we pray for every family that's represented on this line right here and right now. If there's any dysfunction within the framework of the family, God, expose it, that it may be dealt with in this self-same day, this self-same hour, this self-same week. Father God, do these things for us. We'll be ever so grateful to give thy name the praise. For it's in the mighty name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. Anybody else with a special prayer request that they would like to offer up before the Lord?
I would like for us to pray for Maya.
All right. Sister Richard, you want to pray for Maya?
All right. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come before you lifting up Maya, Lord, this evening, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're blessing her, Lord. You're putting a hedge of protection around her. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're giving her a peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, we rebuke the enemy who wants to surround her with people that may have a spirit of jealousy and envy and may seek to cause any harm to her. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that all that madness is stopped right now in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that she is strengthened. We thank you, Lord, that she is safe. We thank you, Lord, that when she goes to school, she's going to be able to be fully focused on the things that she needs to do at school. So, Lord, we praise you today. We thank you, Lord, for how you're ministering in her and through her. We thank you, Lord, that you're helping to build her up, Lord, helping her to understand whose she is, Lord, not just who she is on this earth, but whose she is. I thank you, Lord, that she will go forward with that confidence in her heart, Lord, and not worry about circumstances that her life has been challenged with, but focus on you and grow and strengthen in you, Lord, that she may fully mature to be the woman of God that you've called her to be. So, Lord, we praise you today. We thank you for the gift that she is, the heart that she has, the feistiness that she has. We thank you, Lord, for all that you just continue to do in her and through her. We thank you, Lord, and ask that you continue to bless her in all ways. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are there any other requests that we need to be made aware of? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else has a special prayer request? Well, if not, we are going to go to our Bible study. And I'm going to ask that you open your Bibles. And I pray that you have your Bibles and that you have a pen and paper. And go to the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, when we started this study, we knew that when we talked about the guidelines to survival, out that there were some certain areas that we need to talk about. The first thing we talked about really was how to establish quiet time. And I'm hoping by this time that some of you have found a space and place where you can have a quiet time where it can be just you and God, a quiet time where there's nothing troubling you, nothing bothering you, nobody harassing you, nobody turning around and trying to get your attention for something that can absolutely wait. I'm praying that God has given you the opportunity and the chance to be able to find yourself in a position where you spend time, and I mean quality time, in his presence. A lot of us fail to realize how important it is for us to spend time in the presence of Almighty God. We often, and it's as if somebody, and I use this analogy quite often, so I'm going to use it now so that you'll understand. When a basketball, baseball, or football team goes out to do battle on the court to where they are playing, the very first thing they do is sit down and have a conversation with the coach. The coach lays out the battle plan and shows them the strategy that they are going to use to be able to move forward so that they can have an opportunity and the best possible chance to possibly win whatever game they're in. In war, generals, captains, majors, and all officers tend to come together to find the best possible strategy that's going to be able to put the people in a position where they can have their best possible chance to possibly win that war. They study their enemy. They take time to understand who their enemy is and what their enemy is about and what their enemy is trying to do to each and every one of them. The main thing I'm trying to point out to you is as we took time in the beginning to find that quiet time, we need to hear the heart, the mind of God. We need to know, what is God thinking? He says in Jeremiah 11:29, for I know the thoughts that I have for you. They are thoughts of prosperity and an expected end. And if you, God has an expected end or a thought of prosperity, and I want to take the word prosperity right now and right here. When God talks about prosperity, it ain't just about money, beloved. It is about the overall quality of your life. Jesus reminded us that the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So we can establish the fact that God wants us to have a life of abundance. And it's not about material things. Matthew 6:33 says, if we seek first the kingdom of Almighty God and all of its righteousness, all of the things that we desire in life will be added unto us. So putting all that in perspective, I'm just trying to help us to understand why it's so important to have that quiet time with God. Every last one of us goes through something in the course of our day. There is some type of trial, some type of trouble, some type of hardship, some type of calamity, something's going on in our life that distracts us from our everyday circle of life, something that's trying to pull us away from the quietness of life. Well, going to God in prayer, it makes no difference what the problem. Going to God in prayer, God has a way of revealing to you and helping you to solve the issues that you're dealing with. God has a way of bringing the right people at the right time into your presence to supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God has a way of removing things that are otherwise detrimental to your overall spiritual growth. So in doing that quiet time, we take that time to establish and learn what is it that God wants to say to us. And it's our responsibility to take that time. I suggested to you when we covered this that the early morning hours, I'm going to tell you the best time. If you're awake between the hours of, say, 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., those are the best times to look and to seek the face of God, because you can't find time unless you're working the third shift and you're working in a machine shop. Well, hey, we can't do much about the machine shop because they got to make money. The machine's got to run. But that's not what I'm trying to go to. taking that quiet time, the next thing we started paying attention to in our survival kit is learning how to use our Bible as a source of Christian growth. We found out in that particular time of study that there were some things that we currently have committed to memory, things that we recall to memory when we need some information. I'll show you what I'm talking about. How many of you can remember if you sat there and tried to recite every phone number that you remembered since you was a child? You will come up with quite a few. Now, I know some of us who are a little bit older may not remember as many numbers because with the way the phone is set up in this day and age, it's an amazing thing that you just say their name and it automatically dials. But there are certain numbers you have to remember. I'll give you an example. If an emergency shows up and somebody is near death, you remember 911 because you know it's an emergency number. You remember 411 because you know it's an information number. You remember star 68 because you know it blocks out your number, so when you have to make a call and you don't want the individual to know it's your phone number, it takes it out and puts up private. Many of you remember zip codes. When you go to fill out applications and information that pertains to the area that you live, you have to remember the street you live on. You have to remember the number of the street that you live on. You have to remember the zip code that you have. Many of you remember future dates, special events that are about to take place, and things that are about to come across. Many of you remember mathematical formulas. You remember 2 plus 2 equals 4, and 4 plus 4 is 8, and 8 plus 8 is 16, and so on and so forth. You remember all of these things. You learn, remember how to spell certain words. You remember, like I said, street names. You remember names of special near and dear friends. You remember sometimes license plate numbers. Let them hit you and see how fast you remember that number. It's JR7322 from Arkansas. I'm just using that as an example. I hope that doesn't really exist, and I hope nobody's on this live that actually has that license plate. And then one other thing that becomes important, if we can remember telephone numbers and zip codes and future dates, mathematical formulas, spelling of certain words and street names and the names of friends and loved ones and license plates and things like that, what is the issue that we cannot remember scripture? And using our Bible as a source of Christian growth, it's important for us to learn what scripture says. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse, that it says, bring it to my remembrance, Holy Spirit. Talks about being new creatures in Christ. I got to get this thing right. That says we are new creatures in Christ. Old things, thank you, Holy Spirit, have passed away. And new things and all things have become new. We have to remember the fact that we've been accepted in the beloved. We have to remember that God is wanting and willing and able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or even think. And I'm just talking about scripture memorization because it becomes important, because now when you get to a facet and place as you're spending that time with God, how important is it for us to pray, to learn how to pray? And the best way to get results from God is to pray the word of God. It makes no kind of sense for us to just get up there and just hem and haw and just think that God's going to accept our tune and that our tune will get us where we need to be. We have to understand the very fact that God speaks to us on a day-to-day basis, and God speaks to us through his word. God will remind us when we're walking in error. He will remind us of what he said in his word. He will help us to understand what it is that he wants us to do. If you want to know what the will of God is, I encourage you to go to his word. And if you want to pray your purpose in life towards, God will share with you. But learn to pray his word. Stop being afraid of saying the wrong thing at the right time. God meets you right where you are. I know I should be asking questions, but I'm doing a review right now. For those of you that are on the telephone and for those of you who are on social media, we're just reviewing, we're just studying a book called Survival Kit, 5 Keys to Spiritual Growth. If you've never been in our Bible study, this is where we are right now. We're in a day and age where the body of Christ has to grow up. We can't continue to drink milk. We have to put ourselves in a position where we and every one of us to pray. And the last thing I want to cover right now before we go into our new, we have to understand what happened to us. I mentioned 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, a species that never before existed. We had to go back and find out, what does it mean to be a species that never before existed? That simply meant that, spiritually speaking, you have been reconnected to God through Christ Jesus by faith, and it is your spirit, man, the person that lets you see me and me see you when we are in each other's physical presence. That's your spirit, man. This right here is just a house of flesh. And the Bible says that it's appointed unto every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, that lets you know right there that your physical body is going to return to the earth. It's going to return to the dust from which it was created from, and that's what happened through Adam. But your spirit has got to have a place of eternity, an eternal resting place. And whether it's in the presence of Almighty God or in the pits of hell, which is eventually going to be thrown into the lake of fire, that choice is yours. You can make that decision. So in understanding what has happened to us, and no matter what translation we might use, we have to understand that the Word is still the Word. The Holy Spirit is waiting and willing and wanting to help each and every one of us to understand who we are, whose we are. We can no longer have an identity crisis. And what I mean by an identity crisis, if you are a new creature in Christ, I know there are some things you still have to overcome. There are some things that you still have to get past. There are some things that you still have to grow up in. But here is the beautiful part about that. As you mature in Christ, as you grow in the grace of Almighty God, those things that you may have done in times past, they become less and less desirable to do. This is how you know that you're growing in the grace of Almighty God. And now that I've gotten you caught up to this present point in time, and I'm sorry I left one thing out, I didn't talk about being a part of a body, the body being one entity but having many members. We also covered that, and I believe we just did that just last week. We went into Romans chapter 12, and we started in chapter 12, and we started talking about the members of the body. It's still one body, although there are many parts to the body. Everybody doesn't have the same job in the body of Christ. Everybody can't do the same thing. If everybody were an eye, where would there be hearing? If everybody were hearing, where would they be smelling? I'm talking about the physical body right now. If everybody was smelling, where would the mouth be? Where would the fingers be? Where would the hand, the wrist, the elbow, the arm, the shoulder, the tricep, the bicep? The list goes on and on and on. All I'm simply trying to say to somebody is, in this body of Christ, there are many members. There are some that are out front, and you can see them crystal clear. And then there are those who are in the, I don't want to say the hidden part, but I'm going to use the phrase hidden part, meaning you can't see them, but when it's time for them to do whatever their function is, they become effective in that aspect. Does that make sense to anybody? Please talk to me.
Yeah.
Have I covered everything?
Yes, you have.
Okay, we talked about, see, no, we didn't. I wanted to see if you were paying attention. Did you forget the fact that it was just last week also that we talked about being unified in the body? The reason we talked about the many members of the body is because God is expecting us to walk in unity. Amen?
Amen.
Don't brush me off and get me. Don't push me forward just because you want to move forward. You got to get this. Because God is expecting me to teach it to you, but God is expecting you to learn it. Not just you, but even those of you who are here on social media. God is expecting you to go forth with that which he trains and teaches you in. So when we talk about unity in the body, we can't look at the big I and the little you syndrome. I said this, and I meant to say this Sunday night, when we were at the gala, and I didn't say it, but I'm going to say it here. There are three things that happen for every one of you who come into the area of leadership, and you have to practice these three things if you want to see unity within the body of Christ. There is that thing when God calls you leaders to your leadership roles, he places you in obscurity, meaning he separates you and pushes you to a different place. God puts you in a position where, you know, it seems like your friends have walked away from you. It feels like your so-called loved ones have abandoned you. That's just simply God putting you in obscurity so he can teach and train you for the assignment that he has set before you. Now, there are people whom God has given an assignment to, and they flat out refuse to receive and or accept their assignment. And so because they did not accept or receive their assignment, they've allowed themselves to go dormant, meaning that they become non-existent. They're not as effective in the body as they ought to be. Now, I don't want to talk about them. I want to talk about those of you who are giving yourselves back to the Lord, who are making yourselves available to God, who are telling God, giving God a yes. You're lifting holy hands and you're telling him, yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. And in giving God that yes, now God has to do the separation process. He has to break you away from your daily normal routine. You find yourself walking alone. You find yourself spending more time in prayer. And you find yourself studying the word that much more. That is obscurity. Now comes the second phase. And here's the part where people get lost in. God decide to open up the avenue of popularity, not for the sake of you, but for the sake of giving his name glory, giving his name honor, giving his name praise, lifting him up, magnifying him, glorifying him, exalting him, extolling his name. He's opened up popularity. I'm going to show you something. When Jesus went into obscurity, he was in the wilderness for 40 days and for 40 nights. And when he came out, the enemy decided to try to test him to see what type of authenticity the Lord Jesus had in him. And don't think for one second that the enemy is not going to try to test you, to put you to the test, to try you in different areas where you think you're or you say you're strong. And he's going to show God that you're just a worthless, useless piece of meat, just bragging about something that you know nothing about. But when you stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, now comes that moment of popularity where God has opened the door and set the stage whereby you can turn around and minister to the masses and let them know that there is a Savior who suffered, bled, and died for them, who rose on the third day with all power in his hand and gave the keys of death, hell, and the grave to each and every one of us. And after 40 days, decided it was time to leave the face of this earth because he's taught all he can teach. He's trained all he can train. And now he leaves it in the hands of the body of Christ, his bride. And he tells us to go forth, to go ye therefore into all the world and to preach this gospel unto every living creature. He said that miracles, signs, and wonders. Oh, I feel like preaching right about now. He says miracles, signs, and wonders would follow those who believe. But now he's left this responsibility in our hands. He's gone to sit at the right hand of the Father where he is now acting as our high priest as well as our Lord and Savior and is consistently interceding for each and every one of us. And one of the prayers that he prayed before he left here can be found in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John where he said, make them one as we are one. What is Jesus saying? When we talk about unity and life in the body, we have to understand that God wants us to walk in a way whereby we show glory and give glory to him. God wants us to walk in a way whereby we show that we are solid, that we walk as one. We have the same mind. We have the same purpose. We have the same desires. We have the same heart. We have the same spiritual mentality. We have the mind of Christ, and we're holding the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes of his heart. People who do missionary work, people who may be Christian diplomats, Anybody that goes to a foreign country, they will often experience what's called culture shock, because now they have to learn and they have to adjust to an entirely different way of living. I had that experience, as I told you last week, beloved, when I went to Haiti. I am not from Haiti. I don't know Creole. I don't know the overall Haitian culture. But every time I go, I learn a little bit more about that culture, about those people, and about the heart that these people have. Now, the thing I'm trying to say to you, that as you have given your heart, mind, soul, and spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ, God is expecting you to mature in the body. And so unity becomes obvious. See, the problem here is, in this day and age, especially here in America, we're practicing this thing called denominationalism. And God is not coming back. He's not sending his son back for denominationalism. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Episcopal, Church of God in Christ, Jesus only, whatever your case may be. Jesus is coming back for a church that is without spot and a church that is without wrinkle. And if we're going to learn how to use this survival kit, we have to learn how to think like the Lord Jesus thinks. We have to have that very same mindset that our Father in heaven had when he sent his son here to die. Has anybody ever wondered why Paul took an entire chapter of the Bible to discuss the supremacy of love? This is God's central message. Remember, Jesus said, on this hang all the commandments. He said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. So as we go into this third portion, we're going to talk about functioning in love. The first three verses, can somebody please read out loud the first three verses so we can move forward? Come on, somebody read for me. And before you read, let me say hello to my dear sister, Talitha Moulton Prosper. She was my administrator when we had power, when we had the Scope Tabernacle, when Periscope was running. God bless you. So happy to see you. Go ahead, sis. Read. Go ahead and read.
No, I speak with tongues of men.
Read out loud. Louder.
Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, I have not charity. I am become as sound brass or a tinkling cymbal.
Tinkling cymbal.
And though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all ministries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, I move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I am nothing. And so I have restored all the goods to feed the poor. And so I have my body to the burnt, and having not charity, it profits me nothing. That's 1-3.
Okay, I got you. I was kind of taking a quick drink before I started talking. Now, I want to point something out here as we move forward when we talk about functioning in love. And that's tonight's topic, Bible study, functioning in love. The early church leaders had to model, they modeled love to their churches. They modeled love to the parishioners that were assigned to them. They modeled the love to the rest of the world. They lived by what we call the watchwords that you find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. They understood. Now, I know I had you read the first three, Sister Davis, but I got to really quick just point some things out here. When you look at chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, we find the endurance of love, the patience of love, the kindness of love, that love lacks envy, that love doesn't boil over with jealousy, that love is not boastful or vainglorious, and love does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited. It's not arrogant. It's not inflated with pride. Love is not rude. It is not unmannerly. And love does not act unbecomingly. Love, meaning the love of God that dwells in us, does not insist on its own right or looks for its own way. It's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. All that I just read in verses 4 and 5 alone, we already have a problem with that. You can't function in love when any of those things, when you're going against anything of what I have read. Paul simply says, going back to the first verse, you know, if I could speak with the tongues of men and even angels. See, we think that speaking in tongues is a greater gift than love. That is just simply not true for love. If you don't have love, if you don't have the reasoning and the intentional spiritual devotion that is inspired by God's love to be in each and every one of us, we're nothing more than a noisy cymbal, a noisy clanging cymbal. We're just a sound. And God is not looking for a sound. God is looking for a people that can produce a sound. Faith actually has a sound, in case you did not know these things. If we're able to prophesy, if we're able to interpret, if we're able to put that gift into divine use and purpose and have all understandings of all the secrets and the mysteries of this great word and possess all knowledge, if we have all-sufficient faith and we can move mountains, but we do not have God's love in us, we are nothing. And for all you people who say, well, I do good, I give to the poor, I donate to this, and I donate to that, you could turn around and dole out all that you have and give to the poor. You could provide food, clothing, and shelter. You could surrender your body to be burned in order that you may bring glory. But here is the problem. If you're not doing it in the love of God, it is nothing. You have gained absolutely nothing. You got to understand that. The body of Christ, here's the real reason why, excuse me, the body of Christ exists. We're here to exhibit the attributes of God. We're here to show and manifest the very nature of God. And if the Bible says that God is love, beloved, we have to understand that the body of Christ now is here to exist real love. What, you heard that song before, so just let me say it. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And the problem here with the world not receiving the love they're supposed to get is because the body of Christ is not making that love available. The scripture says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, where is the love? No, I ain't talking about the Roberta Flack, Donnie Hathaway song. I'm talking about the agape of God, that love that loves unconditionally, that love that just pushes and presses and puts you in a position where you're willing to give at your own expense, because it is the absolute desire of love to give. How do I know? I read John, the 3rd chapter in the 16th verse, which simply says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, if God is willing to give the only son that he has, what is that saying for you, and what is that saying for me? Why is it that God can give all he has, but we can only give a piece or a portion of what we have? Somebody help me understand that. Y'all quiet tonight. I know you're saying, well, you preaching now. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just throwing some things out there that we need to be made aware of. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in those first three verses, which of the following qualities are described as being less important than love? Help me understand. Does anybody see anything in here that would, he talks about speaking in the tongues of men, as well as that of angels, but have not love. Now, help me find some things in there that are less important than love. I just mentioned two just now. Talk to me, y'all. What in that first verse do you find that is less than love, less important than love? Look at it.
Angels of charity.
If I have the tongues of men, I'm reading the Amplified Classic, so this gives you a little more to work with. If I can have the speaking tongues of men and even of angels, now listen carefully, but have not love, I am a tinkling cymbal, a sounding brass, and a tinkling or clanging cymbal. Do I need to point it out for you again? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Listen to what's being said. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have the agape of God, I'm nothing. This is what he's saying in the first verse. And all I'm asking you to do is to find me some things in these first three verses that are less important than love itself. It's all right there in front of you if you got your Bible open. Nobody sees it?
Wait a minute.
Beloved, do you understand what I mean when I say I got to make sure you got this?
I speak with the tongues of my...
You just said it. What is less important in verse one? Love.
Speaking with the tongue of men?
Yes. Come on now. Come on. You got it. Keep going. What else do you see in that first verse?
Okay, speaking with
less
the tongue.
I want you to look for less important than love. Love is the most important thing in the body of Christ. So in that first verse, you find in there.
But not love.
Okay. Give me the two things you see in verse 1 of chapter 13 that are less important than love.
Speaking with the sound, speaking with tongue. And the sound brass or a tinkly cymbal.
Well, you see, here's where you're mixing yourself up at. I said two things that are less important. You said tongues of men. You could have said tongues of angels and stopped right there, because after that, you see that comma right there? And it doesn't matter if it's the King James, the NIV, the CSB, the ESV, whatever version you're watching. There's a comma there. It says, but have not love. I can speak in tongues. But if I don't have love, if there is no love, if I'm not doing this with the love of God, and I don't mean just any old kind of love, because remember, there are actually five different types of love before that we recognize. We recognize eros, which is the intimate emotional love. We recognize storge, which is the family love. We recognize phileo, which is the love of brotherhood. I don't miss them already. And then there's agape. Okay, there's five, but I'm going to leave the fifth one out for a minute. Then there's agape love, which is the love that loves in spite of. That is the love of God. If we do not have the love of God operating in our lives, we are as sounding brass. We're making a lot of noise. I'm going to say it like this. James Brown said it the best. He says we're talking loud and saying nothing. That's what you're doing when you're not walking in love. And see, here's the problem with some of us. People are going to say bad things about us. They're going to try to hurt our feelings. They're going to try to pull us down. They're going to try to drag us down. They're going to try to belittle us. They're going to try to berate us. We still have to walk in agape love. Think about it. You and all your mess and all your dirt and all the stuff that you did, God still loved you in that while you were yet sinners, he allowed Christ to die for you. So who are you to think that you don't have to walk in the love of God when our Father in heaven walked there? I mean, I don't know, as a father, I don't know if I could stand there and watch them rip the hairs out of my son's face and take a cat of nine tail whip and go across his back and whip him until his Jesus is more cannot be discerned. You can barely recognize who he is. I don't know if I can take it with my son's back bleeding profusely. And then I'm going to turn around. down and plait a crown of thorns on his head and press him down 3-inch thorns, and now his head starts bleeding because of the perforation of the thorns. And then I'm going to make him carry a rugged piece of wood 3 miles up a hill while his ripped open back is still bleeding profusely, and that wood is running up against his back, only to have him laid out and nails put in his wrist and in his feet and suspend him in midair. More pressure, more pain. I don't know if I could take that as a father. But let somebody say the wrong thing to us at the right time. Let somebody mistreat us. Let somebody make us feel like we're less than what we are. And watch how we react. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing people talking about church hurt. I'm going to say this one more time. There is no such thing as church hurt. Hurt is hurt. I don't care if it happens in church. I don't care if it happens on your job. I don't care if it happens at the bus station, the subway station, or whatever. Hurt is hurt, period.
Amen.
Of story.
Yes.
Stop trying to label hurt. There is no definition to hurt except pain that you have no real desire to feel. And that's it. Now, when you start getting in your little feelings and start feeling like you do, go back and look what Jesus did for you and for me. Think about that. I ain't seen nobody leave their job yet, especially if they have a job that pays 4, 5, or 6 figures. I don't think I've seen anybody leave a job because they were hurt. Or, I'm quitting this job because my boss hurt my feelings. Your boss cussed you out yesterday. And this morning you got up, washed your face, ate your breakfast, started your car, and you went to work. But in the church, because somebody says the wrong thing to us or does the wrong thing to us at the right time, at the right time. Now we want to leave the church. We don't want nothing else to do with the body of Christ. Hello? Part of your maturation process is learning how to endure. That's part of the process. And so if you're going to function in love, you're going to have to learn how to endure. It says right there, I just read it not that long ago. Let me go back over this. Love endures long and is patient. Verse 4, opening portion of verse 4. Love is long-suffering is all it's simply saying. Love suffers. Real love. I ain't talking about this fake love. I'm going to love you conditionally. Then when you hurt my feelings, I got to go. Because you done got on my last nerve. No, if you have the love of God and you want to function in real love, you have got to understand that you got to be love long-suffering. It endures long and is patient. Love is kind. And I know that's hard to do sometimes because, trust me, being a bishop, forget the title, but there are times when I want to bust some people right to the white meat. I mean all the way down to the bone. If I could, but I cannot do that because if I am an ambassador or a representative of the kingdom of Almighty God, I've got to carry myself accordingly. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody got any questions, comments? None?
Well,
time to see some of the comments here on no, not angry at all, Pastor Pink. It's just that we have to grow up. That's all it is, dear sister. We have to grow up. Stop being babies about this thing. You cannot be, and I'm going to say this to those of you who are in ministry, wherever you are listening, you cannot be in ministry and be a baby about it. Because if you're a baby about it, you might as well get out of ministry and just be a good Christian and show up for Bible study and show up for prayer service and come to your Sunday service. But if you're going to get in the trenches and allow the Holy Spirit to use you the way he needs to use you, you're going to come across some mean, ugly, resentful, bitter people. And that's just life in the fast lane. If ministry were easy, anybody, and I mean anybody, would be able to do it. Anybody would be able to do it. We've got to get this foolishness out of our mind that there's this thing called church hurt. No such thing as church hurt. With the quotations around it, by the way, those of you who are on the telephone. All right? So the body of Christ exists to reveal of God called us out from being unbelievers to be changers, life changers, to display the love of Christ. And each day since Christ came, died, bled, and rose again, you know, we're here to change lives. We're here to make other people, the quality of life better for other people. We have to recognize the very fact that God has inspired us to move forward in such a way, and this takes courage. This is really where you find out how, you know, how well-grounded you are in Christ. You find this out when the first trial, the first test comes your way, and you find yourself, you've got a choice. Somebody says the wrong thing to you at the right time, you either respond in anger, you respond in bitterness, you respond in resentment, or you respond in love. And yes, it is difficult to do. I have been on this TikTok, I don't know, I guess I've been here for a couple of years now, and I have had people say some mean, vicious thing to me. Some mean, vicious things. If I could have got my hands on them in my flesh, you know, the Bible says lay hands suddenly on no man. But I certainly would have choked these individuals out. I promise you, they might be dead by now. But the bottom line is simply this. The truth of the matter is I had to display the love of Christ, even in the face of opposition. And this is what we are called to do. Amen? There are many things that Paul mentions here, and I want you to really, really get an understanding of what those qualities are. We have to be long-suffering. We have to be patient. We have to be kind. Now, here are some other areas that might be a little difficult for some people, not everybody. Here's how you know, and I've got something, I thought about this, and I don't know if I'll do this Sunday. I may come back to this 13th chapter. I want to talk about the education of love, or should I call it love's education. If you allow real love to educate you, you are going to find out some things. Love is never envious, neither does it boil over with jealousy. What does it mean to be envious? Let's think about this for a minute. What does it mean to actually be envious? Come on, talk to me, somebody.
Jealous.
Oh, well, there's envy and then there's jealousy. Two separate things. But anybody got an idea what it means to be envious? To see somebody, and jealousy is a sister to envy. But to be envious is to have a desire for what they have. And because you don't have it, you're just a bit bitter about it. You're a little, you're not angry, but you're a little disturbed at the fact, okay, you know what they say is don't be like the Joneses. Yeah. Because the Joneses can't get, you're jealous or you're sort of kind of disgusted. They always bragging every time I turn around. They always out there doing this. I just wish they would lose everything they got. Don't be envious and don't be jealous. You don't need to. And then for those that do have and God blesses you to have, you do not have to be boastful or vainglorious. Here's how we dress it up in this day and age. I got to make you understand this. God has been so good. God has just been so good to us. I remember when we had nothing. We didn't have a pot. We didn't have a window. But
you've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.